in looms of exo-support machinery and prosthetics. They were both pale and high-cheekboned, with black lips and eyes that appeared to be outlined in coal, lending them a doll-like, cadaverous look. Both had elaborate dark hair worked in a viper's nest of stiff locks. The man's arms were smoked glass, inlaid with glowing machines and luminous, pulsing feed lines, while the woman had an oblong hole right through her abdomen. "Don't let them freak you out," Kaweya whispered. "Freaking people out is part of their armory of business techniques. You can bet the captain sent down the two weirdest specimens he had, just to put us ill at ease."
"He did a good job in that case."
"Trust me, I've dealt with Altras. They're pussies, really." We ambled up the ramp. The woman, the one leaning against the doorframe, pulled herself upright and studied us with impassively pursed lips.
"You're Kaweya?" she said.
"Yeah, and this is Tanner. Tanner goes with me. That's not open to negotiation." She looked me over.
"You're armed."
"Yes," I said, only slightly unnerved that she had seen the gun through my clothes. "You're telling me you're not?"
"We have our means. Step aboard, please."
"The gun isn't a problem." The woman's smirk was the first emotional response she had shown.
"I don't seriously think so, no."
Once we were aboard, they retracted the ramp and closed the door. The ship had a cool medical ambience, all pale pastels and glassy machines. Two other Altras waited aboard it, reclined in a pair of enormous command couches, nearly buried under readouts and delicate control stalks. The pilot and co-pilot were both naked, purple-skinned beings with impossibly dexterous fingers. They had the same stiff dreadlocks as the other two, but rather more per head. The woman with a hole in her gut said,
"Take us up nice and easy, Pellegrino. We don't want our guests blacking out on us."
I mouthed in Kaweya's direction,
"We're going up?"
He nodded back.
"Enjoy it, Tanner. I'm going to. Word is I won't be able to leave the surface before too long. Even the Altras won't want to touch me."
We were shown to a pair of vacant couches. Almost as soon as we were buckled in, the ship pulled itself aloft. Through transparent patches arranged around the walls, I saw the jungle clearing dropping below, until it looked like a single footprint, bathed in a smudge of light. There, far off towards one horizon, was a single spot of light which had to be the reptile house. The rest of the jungle was ocean black.
"Why did you pick that clearing for our meeting?" asked the Altra woman.
"You'd have looked pretty stupid parking on top of a tree."
"That's not what I mean. We could have provided our own landing space with minimal effort, but that clearing was significant, wasn't it?"
The woman sounded as if the resolution to this line of inquiry could be of only passing interest to her.
"We scanned it on our approach. There was something buried beneath it, a regularly sided hollow space, some kind of chamber filled with machines."
"We all have our little secrets," Kaweya said. The woman looked at him carefully, then flicked her wrist, dismissing the matter. Then the ship surged higher, the G-force crushing me into my seat. I made a stoic effort not to show any kind of discomfort, but there was nothing pleasant about it. The Altras all looked cool as ice, softly mouthing technical jargon at each other, airspeed and ascent vectors. The two who had met us had plugged themselves into their seats with thick silver umbilicals, which presumably assisted their breathing and circulation during the ascent phase. We shrugged off the planet's atmosphere and kept climbing. By then we were over Dayside. Sky's edge looked blue-green.